persist until the formation of the National Wrestling Alliance in 1948. NWA as a central governing body, with its singular, undisputed world champion, would be absolute and undeniable. This control, combined with the expansion of the interstate highway system, and the inevitable popularity and availability of regional television, would usher in an era of wrestling that was defined by what would come to be known as the territory system. The territory system would dominate wrestling for nearly four decades, while the borders, authority, popularity, and obedience of individual NWA territories was in a near constant state of flux. To this day, the impact and influence of these territories is still felt. Each territory had its own signature promoter and star. While it is impossible to cram these characteristics into a static, concrete map, we are damn sure going to try anyway.
So open up your eyes, way before it gets too late. Now one man, there's no way you can. Hit the streetlights running, don't give a damn. A simple explanation that you'll never find. Sinners never sacrifice. We never leave them alone. Is hate really worth the price? Look at what we've done. Never care for compromise. Always threatening someone's life. And it feels like the end of the world.
Welcome to another episode of This Week in Pro Wrestling with your host Mike Monty and Jimmy Farrow. Jimmy, kind of changing the format for our usual This Week because I think we both deemed it important to show our respects to one of the all-time greats, the Iron Sheik, before we start our conversation. And by the way, Eric Sims will be with us in about 5 minutes. Eric was widely known as a local agent who famously brought Iron Sheik to the Howard Stern Show.
Got his teeth loosened.
Got his teeth loosened, yeah.
Yeah.
And So Eric will treat the fans to some Iron Sheik stories.
Awesome.
So we can
sure.
maybe have a laugh and, you know, as a family, say our goodbyes to one of the great villains and faces.
Yeah, well.
In pro wrestling.
He was more dastardly than anything, but yeah.
The Iron Sheik, known as the World Wrestling, the Iron Sheik has died, one of the modern wrestling legendary heels. Iron Sheik spent 50 years in pro wrestling, cultivating a reputation of one of the medium's greatest, most dedicated athletes and trash talkers. Playing on the politics of the day to enhance his villain gimmick, he was celebrated for his talent in the ring, his considerable physical strength, and his electric, combative energy during interviews and promotions. Thoughts on the Iron Sheik, sir?
Wow, where does it really all begin? I remember first seeing the Iron Sheik back in, I would say, 79 or so, maybe 1980, swinging them clubs, and there was really nobody more of just a pure natural villain. This guy just generated it, generated the heat. He was always in great shape. You know, it's weird, though. The guy was super muscular, but there was always that belly threatening to, you know, just come out a little bit.
Couple of things. Rick B. says Dan was the reason he got on Howard Stern because of his interviews with him. We'll ask Eric that. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is Eric is the one that's known for bringing him on to Howard Stern.
Sure.
So I don't know.
Sure.
But go ahead.
No, he's just a tremendous, tremendous talent. You know, earlier today, a couple of people I know that I work with, young guys, you know, 20s, 30s. He's clearly before their time, but they knew who he was. They came to me. They were like, Iron Sheik, huh? And I'm like, how do you even know this guy? They're like, what, are you kidding me? Everybody knows the Iron Sheik. That says it all.
I remember, you know, we spent all those years rooting against the great Bob Backlund. It's funny how things change, right? We were
then. There's that night,
right? And
right. Please tell it.
You know, Jimmy introduced me to wrestling, and at the time, Iron Sheik wasn't in the WWF anymore. He was Hossein Arab in the WWF, and I saw him in magazines that Jimmy had in his room.
Mm-hmm.
So no big deal. Fast forward all these years, we watched all these great villains get put down by Bob Backlund.
All of them.
All of them. And then
think about some of the names too.
Go ahead.
Not to you know, I mean, my God, he defeated Sergeant Slaughter. He defeated the Magnificent Morocco. He defeated Greg Valentine. He defeated Playboy Buddy Rose. He defeated Killer Khan. I could go on and on and on.
And by the way,
and
right,
Blackjack Mulligan, Ray Stevens. You just go on and on.
Right before December 26th.
Right.
He had just defeated the Masked Superstar, I believe.
Right. He was Big John Studd.
Yeah.
You name him, Bob Backlund knocked him down.
So we're watching wrestling, and Iron Sheik, who I'm looking at as Hossein Arab,
right,
uses his things or
the clubs.
The clubs.
Yeah, swinging them around.
And then Backlund tries to show his strength, and he gets attacked by Iron Sheik, gets
of course.
Hurt. So we're like,
sure.
Okay, this is to make you believe that
right.
he could actually have a chance against Backlund.
Right.
Literally,
this
I could.
This has got to be another King Kong Moscow situation. This is a win for Backlund.
Easy, easy.
No problem.
One of the only times I don't watch the Madison Square Garden card, and I go to my girlfriend's house, okay, on December 27th. Okay, it's right after the holiday.
Yeah.
Right? And in the time, if everybody remembers, if you live in New York, anyway, in the Daily News, they used to have like a little clipping of the results of the wrestling matches.
By the masked grappler.
And I, you know, I'm like, whatever. And I go, let me go look and see what happened. Like, I didn't know what happened. And I see the Iron Sheik
mm-hmm.
has defeated
mm-hmm.
the great Bob Backlund.
Yep.
And my jaw dropped.
How did I not call you right away?
I have no idea.
Where were we at that point? Had I discovered weed?
You might have discovered weed.
I think we have our answer. You know, it's funny, though. I remember watching it, and I'm thinking to myself, what we were saying, there's just no, this is a walk in the park for Backlund. And then he gets him in the camel clutch, and I see Arnold Skolin, and I'm thinking to myself.
Did you watch it live?
Of course I did.
Oh, so you saw
this?
Oh,
I did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I'm watching this, and I see Arnold Skolin, and I'm like, is he? What's he doing with that towel? Is he going to throw the... Are you serious? He threw the towel in? I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was right up there with any insurmountable upset you can think of. I was like, are you kidding me? That was shocking. I think the Garden was shocked. That was almost 6 years of Bob Backlund rolling through everybody. The wrestling prodigy. Boy, Backlund reeked of a wrestler's wrestler. And that all of it, the Iron Sheik? Really? Mm. With all the guys he turned away all those years, that was the last person
they had thought about giving it to Morocco. They had thought about giving it to the Masked Superstar.
Valentine even had it in New York for like a week or something.
But Iron Sheik was the right guy. I think it was Luce who said it. Luce, forgive me if it wasn't you.
Yeah.
But Iron Sheik is definitely responsible for kicking off Hulkamania.
He is.
There wasn't a better opponent. And I remember that night.
Yeah.
With January 23rd, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hogan winning that belt. And the thing that's interesting after that, though, Jimmy, is this. We were talking about this. The one thing that kind of gets swept under the rug is it's funny, right? The Iron Sheik was so incredible. But he later on, with, like you mentioned, being on Dan's interviews or on Howard Stern, he kind of
became a parody of himself.
A parody of himself.
He did.
But
he did.
The one thing I think a lot of people forget is how hot the Iron Sheik was that he took a villain, like the returning Sergeant Slaughter.
Right.
And just them crossing paths instantly
USA.
Made Sergeant Slaughter into a hero.
USA.
Quick question. Madison Square Garden boot camp match, Madison Square Garden alley fight. Patterson Slaughter, Sheik Slaughter. Which one was better?
Oh, nothing touches the alley fight. Nothing will ever touch the alley fight. I think even Tightwad Meltzer gave that match of the year. Think about that for a second, too. Artsy Fartsy Meltzer, I do believe, gave that match of the year.
I got to tell you, to me, I thought the boot camp match outdid the alley match.
In what way? Was it just more competitive? Because I know you love Slaughter, and Slaughter took like a 20-minute straight beating bike from Patterson. It was unbelievable.
It was...
In those jeans.
Right.
And that stupid tight t-shirt that said, I love them, and those boots.
Right, exactly.
Which he took off and started
Which
beating.
Was a great match. It was fantastic!
I love it.
But that boot camp match... And, you know, we forget about this, too.
All right.
The Sheik had those curly boots.
Yes.
And he used to kick them. He did three of them.
Oh, yeah.
And then he would, like, hit you with it.
Right.
I mean, how great was that?
You know, it's funny, too. We point out that he became a... That was amazing, by the way. But we point out that he became a parody of himself. Let me tell you, and I believe this. With the explosion of the internet over the years, as Sheik was becoming a parody of himself, best business movie ever made. He kept the eyes on him.
Right.
And as the internet grew, he got new eyes on him. So I think that Sheik was very, very smart at playing the public. He knew exactly what to do.
Talk about being smart. Rick B. brings up, would have been interesting to see things, how they turned out, if he took the 100K to break Hogan's leg. And I got to tell you, you just said it.
Mm-hmm.
Sheik was smart.
Mm-hmm.
Sheik knew what the... Look,
you know,
think about
it.
If he took his 100 grand, he would have went back to the AWA. And again, guys, if we think that Vince wouldn't have defeated AWA eventually anyway without Hogan, well, it wouldn't even be without Hogan. Well, it could be. I don't know. I don't know what would have happened. But in the end, Vince would have came up on top and Sheik would have...
He would have been done.
He would have been done.
He would have been done because everything else would have folded and he would have had nowhere to go.
I mean, if everybody looked at the documentary, I think his first quarter with his dolls or whatever, it was like $250,000.
Mm-hmm. Can I start a little shit?
Go ahead.
This never gets said either. Why is it always automatically that Hulk Hogan is a wuss? Like, let's say he did try to break Hulk Hogan's leg. How do you want to, okay, break my leg, brother. Well, are you really going to, like, you know?
I think because everybody knows that Hogan Sheik was a real grappler.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, so what? Hogan got his leg broken by Hiro Matsuda. That didn't toughen him up.
Well, I'm going to agree with you there.
Why, what,
it's
are you
like,
just going to walk in and just break his leg? No problem.
Right.
The guy's 300 pounds, 6'8", or whatever he was.
There could have been a fight.
I find it funny that automatically Hogan gets snapped in half because he's Vince's cartoon toy. Get the fuck out of here.
No, you're right.
He's a big dude. He always was.
You're right.
And he's a lot tougher than he gets credit for because in Japan, you know, and I know it's been said 1,000 times, go watch what he did in Japan. The guy could go. I mean, when he needed to go, he went. He wrestled per his gimmick, not to turn this into a Hogan thing.
Hard to disagree with.
It just annoys me.
Hard to disagree
with. You know, by the way, Hogan was the first one to break that camel clutch when he fought Iron Sheik. Remember, he got Hogan in the camel clutch.
Absolutely.
That didn't last, did it, brother?
Wow, look at you getting crazy over that.
I can't help it.
And let's not forget him and Nikolai winning the tag team titles.
Oh, God, did they... I hate that.
Before Eric comes on, I do want to tell a story, and I am going to take credit for this. So, again, I might have told it before.
Okay.
But when I was in the military, I was in Fort Polk, Louisiana.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Louisiana. So, one weekend, we were driving, and we're going past, like, something. I think it was called the Monroe Civic Center.
Oh,
I could
no.
be wrong.
I think I know this one. Okay.
And it says today.
Right.
You know, WCW.
Right.
So, I go, hey, guys, let's just go. We'll get some tickets up top, and we'll go.
Up top? Would you get a 350 days audience?
Well, no, like, you figure it's a day of.
Right.
You're not, you know, yeah, it's probably right. packed.
Yeah, we think so.
We walk up there.
89. Yeah, wrestling's doing fine.
Don't hold me the exact year.
Wrestling's doing fine either way.
In my mind, it's doing fine.
Yeah.
It's not.
Until you walked in.
So we walk in. And I go, hey, we'd like some tickets. They're like, what row? And I'm like, the best you got. Front row.
Sitting next to Gordon Solo?
And I'm like, what?
Wow.
Yeah, front row.
Wow.
We go in. There's no one.
Are you kidding
there's
me?
There's nobody there.
Like, this is a house show.
This is a house show.
Wow.
And the house show is loaded.
There's no one
Sullivan,
in the house.
Michael Hayes against Lex Luger for the U.S. title.
Wow.
Sting against Rotundo.
That's great.
Right?
Those are good matches.
But so here's where I'll take credit.
Flair,
so here's a bunch
Flair
of
on this one?
Flair was not on
okay,
this one.
Okay, we might have.
So we're sitting on we're in the front row,
yeah.
And we're fucking loud. We're drunk, we're loud. The wrestlers are loving us. The right. second match is the Sheik, and I forget who he's wrestling.
Okay.
And it's WCW. But I got the guys with me going chanting, Hogan, Hogan. He gets on the microphone,
oh,
and he goes, Hogan, poo, I'm the real WWF champion.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, he's gimmicking us for the
right.
out show that us five are at. The
right.
only ones in the arena. Got
right.
it. Every week, and you guys can look it up on TV, that's what he said
right.
from that point forward.
Interesting.
And I was like, holy shit.
Look what you guys started.
Look what we started.
That's awesome. But it's good that you five guys were there.
That's right. I got to tell you, good time, good time, good time. All right, let's get with Eric Sims. You ready to get Eric Sims? He's ready to go? All right, hats off.
Hats off?
Well, not for me, hat. Not you.
Hats off, ears
Simsy, how are you, buddy?
I'm here. How are you?
How are you?
I hear my scene.
I'm held up. I'm doing just fine.
So our condolences to the passing of your friend, Eric Sims. Don't worry, D. Lee. Eric Sims is there. I know you're probably some mark for Sims. Do you know who D. Lee is? They're coming in their drawers waiting for you to come on.
They're what?
Yeah, well, I advertised that I was coming on. So,
all right.
Yeah.
So, Sims.
What little fan base I have is why I kind of want you. So.
They want you.
Of course.
You lost Sheiky. Can you tell the fans how you feel about the loss of someone that actually got your career going, correct?
Well, when I broke in, I've always told Chris Candido and Balls were the ones that got me in, originally broke me in. Then I hooked up with Dennis Coraluzzo, Doc Diamond, that crew, but it wasn't. But for the part, you know, as far as wrestler, because usually you got the wrestler that like kind of like takes you by the wing and kind of, you know, lead you by the way. That for me, that was the Iron Sheik. So if it wasn't for the Iron Sheik, there'd be no ESS. So, you know, we met.
Mitch Seinfeld's show in Brooklyn, right?
Mitch Seinfeld's show, yeah, in Brooklyn, somewhere in Brooklyn. You know, and, you know, Sheik just took a liking to me, and we just hit it off ever since. I mean, who thought an Iranian and a Jew would actually get along and be able to, you know, survive together without killing each other?
Eric, were you smart enough to take him someplace nice for the first meal?
I don't remember, but I think, listen, we probably went to a diner or something.
Right.
All right, so let's get to some serious stories. So,
sure.
Explain your first interaction with the Sheik. What was it like?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't remember. I met him at Mitch's show, and you know, it was just kind of, you know, just normal stuff. I mean, nothing nothing from nothing. He didn't know me. I didn't really know him. I mean, you know, outside of the persona that he was. And, you know, we just met and, you know, we hit it off and, you know, I just started traveling with him, you know.
Well, what did you say? Hey, I'd like to start promoting you and having you coming signing.
That's kind of how it started. It's like, hey, can I get you some bookings and stuff? And I just started, you know, handling the bookings for him.
So back then.
So it wasn't, you know, it was just a couple of years because then he went to, you know, WCW and then back to WWE because that was, you know, I met Sheiky like 86 range. So
get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Between 86 to like 88-ish, you know, doing the independent circuit thing, right when he just got, you know, he just got released from WWE after the hacksaw thing, and you know, it was just doing the independent stuff. And then I think if memory serves me right, like he got picked up by WCW and then he went back to WWE to do the the tag with Sarge and stuff. And then he, after that, he kind of disappeared. Oh, and then he came back a little bit with Backlund and Sultan. And then after that, like he kind of disappeared after that. And then and then we got hooked back up and did worked through the late 90s. We did all the independent stuff and then into the early 2000s before it kind of ended in 2010.
Well, how was he? Was he a smart man, a shrewd negotiator? We know how shrewd you are. So how were your conversations?
Well, we're normal. I mean, we talked on the phone. It's like, hey, Kaz, I got this, and this for you. I'm going to give you this, and this, and you know, this is what I could pay you. And it's like, okay, Eric Bubba, no problem. For you, anything, Bubba, anything. So, you know, that's kind of how it went. I mean, you know, we did so much stuff together. You know, it's just, you know, people only see the finished product. That's me showing up at whatever appearance I have and doing the business. You have no idea what I went through to get there, you know, and then I went through hell. I mean, I basically, you know, for the 24 or so years I was with him, it was just, I kept putting different safeguards in place because it's just, you know, every time I thought I had it, something else would go wrong and then something else would go wrong.
Well, give a typical booking weekend with the Sheik.
You know, so like I pick him up at the airport and God forbid I was 5 minutes late. You know, he starts screaming and yelling, You know, especially when I pull up, it's like, you late, you dumb son of a bitch. And the cops are there and this and that. And the cops are begging me to get them out of there. You know, it's like, you know, screaming at the cops, screaming at me, you know, just, you know, you're late. You're not ready for me to take you to see Mr. McMahon. You're unprofessional, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but the minute he got in the car, we pulled off. Oh, Eddie, blah, blah, good to see you. You know, we gave each other a hug, a kiss, you know, in the car and whatever. So when we're driving away, so like I kind of figured out what my role was, sooner than later. But and I just played the role ever since. You know, that inept agent that couldn't get anything right, couldn't do anything right, and you know, but it was the one pulling the strings behind the scenes just to make it all happen. Because during that time, you know, like the Sheik's dark times, you know, with the drugs and the this and the that, and I had to fight through all of that in order to make the appearances and stuff. So it's, you know, it was super super challenging, you know. And then the late nights after the show, let's go to the bar. You don't want to disrespect our friends. Here we go. We go sit at the bar. You know, and I never drank. I hate, you know. And then, you know, I had to drive back late at night. And I was a young cat at the time. But, you know, as always, you know, I never liked traveling, like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, driving back to the hotel. I was drop dead exhausted from my day. And, you know, and he just never wanted to leave the bar. And he just kept drinking and people buying drinks and this and that. And it just took a while to get him to the car and get him to the hotel and stuff and whatever. But, you know, when it came time for business, he was spot on.
Eric, when he was released with the drugs, obviously, like he's mentioned before, the hacksaw, you know, situation, is it at that point that you, I know you're a smart guy, you're an opportunist, was it at that point that you thought to yourself, well, this guy might really need some bookings right now, let me jump on this?
Again, at the time, you know, I was just kind of getting my feet wet at the time, you know. I broke in around 85, 86, and, you know, I was doing different aspects of the business, from, you know, doing some vending, I did a little promoting, the true agent thing stuff didn't start to look like a little bit later on, but I did a little bit of it, but not as well as what you see today.
Okay.
You know, that took a long time to develop. You know, I had to take, I only worked with like one or two guys just to, you know, get my feet wet, and the Sheik was the main guy. So it just, you know, it's just a lot of trial and error, because he, you know, it's just, you know, what you see is what you get. I mean, he was just that big of a character, and he knew how to play people, and he knew how to play people against me, you know, so, you know, everybody just always made fun of me and this and that, but I was the one who's just making the deals and just, you know, get, you know, people knew, you know, appreciative that I got him to the appearances and stuff, but it was a lot of work, just a lot of work. And I always said, you know, the best part about the weekend was putting him on the plane and sending him home, and that I would never, ever, ever work with him again, because he just was just impossible until the next time I worked with him, and it just never ended. So, you know, just that's kind of been the story of our relationship.
When he lost his daughter, did you reach out to him? Or, how did that conversation go?
You know, he's crying to me on the phone and stuff. I mean, it was just, listen, it's a sad time. And listen, it, for not just the Sheik, but any parent, you're supposed, the child is supposed to outlive the parent. That's kind of how it works. You know, and occasionally sometimes the child passes for, you know, may get sick and pass away, but, you know, you don't expect the child to get murdered and, you know, this doesn't how it works, you know, and it hit him hard. I mean, it really hit him hard. I mean, the man was a true family man. I mean, you know, he loved his wife, he loved his kids, and just, you know, he just loved that aspect. And not a lot of people saw that, because all they saw was the character.
Eric, I got to tell you, it's a great regret. I've never mentioned it to you before, but I always thought in the back of my head, you know, we've been doing business with you for years now, and you've brought so many great wrestlers into the studio for us, but I always thought in the back of my head, I always wondered where you were with the Iron Sheik, knowing your history with him, and it's a great regret that we'd never had you bring him here. What caused, after 24 years, obviously a close relationship, a productive business relationship, what caused you and Sheik to say goodbye in, you know, business terms and perhaps even in, you know, friend terms?
Basically, Sheik was done. You know, after we did this, after the fourth appearance on the Stern show around 2010, where he just bombed. I mean, if you watch that interview, Sheik had no energy, like really didn't want to be there. Okay. And then I had to come into the studio, save that interview. Where they, you know, the producers, everybody thanked me for doing it because I knew my role. I had to get in there, rile him up, have him yell at me, have him do, you know, have him, you know, whatever, just stir the pot, because me and Sheik were the act. I mean, it was that the whole thing was me and him. I mean, him alone with his accolades is one thing. That's awesome. All the wrestling accolades, but you know, me and him were kind of the act. Me being the bad, the inept agent, can't get shit done. Me just no good, son of a bitch. Half and half, break time jabroni and whatever. And he just yelled at me and, you know, goofed on me for that. And just like, you know, I knew my role there, so I had to go in and do that. But then after that, it's like he just didn't want to leave the house anymore. So it's like, you know, like the Megan boys from Canada got him out a couple times for some appearances. And, you know, then he did WrestleCon in 2018 up here in New York. And that was kind of his last real major appearance.
What was the conversation like with you and him after the fourth and final Howard Stern appearance? Did you turn to him and go, you know, you kind of bombed? Would you even have the nerve to say something? What was the conversation like after that show?
No, I keep having... You can't tell the Sheik that, because like he gets a little hot under the collar and stuff, and just like, you know, I just babyfaced the situation. Oh, you did good, Sheik. It's like, okay, you weren't feeling good. You know, okay, you know, I kind of knew it, but you know, it's just like I don't want to, you know, again, I'm not going to break the bad news to him. You know, it was like, hey, Sheik, your parents sucked. And, you know, what the fuck are you thinking about? You know, I had reality TV looking at me. You know, I was in talks with Buna Murray. That's the ones that produce the Bella Twins and the Divas Show. And they have a bunch of other stuff that's on that's on, you know, regular TV. I was in contact with them. They had interest. It just didn't go anywhere, you know, and it's all because of Sheik. And it's just, you know, it's just, you know, he's the driving force. I'm just a bit player in this. He's technically the star. I'm just the bit player, you know, just trying to play my role. But, you know, everything's Iron Sheik.
On a wrestling level and as a wrestling fan, which I know you are, obviously, where do you rank? Did we just lose the greatest villain in the history of the business, or top five? I mean, where would you put him?
Listen, there are a lot of great performers, and you have to look at it. There's a couple ways to look at it. One from a financial point, you know, who's the greatest wrestler of all time? The one who made the most money. That's who's the greatest of all time. You know, so did Sheik make Hogan or Rock or Austin money? No. But, you know, then you got to look at, you know, the villains. Did he draw? You got to draw heat. So Sheik drew nuclear heat at times. And sure. especially back in the early days, you know, of WWE, you know, with Slaughter and that, you know, before, like, just as Vince was going national, you know, I mean, they knew what they were doing with the hostage situation. I mean, he came along at the right time, and they played the role perfectly. I mean, there was some nuclear heat. When you've got so much heat that they want to literally kill you, where you have to go out in the trunk of a car so that they don't actually throw a rock or shoot a bullet through the window of your car, you're doing something right. I mean, that's a badge of honor right there.
When did you realize Sheiky was having drug problems?
Early on, right from the beginning. I was so scared for the whole 20 some odd years that I was with him, because sometimes he smoked in my car, and I keep telling him not to, but you're the president, Mr. Clinton, he can smoke the marijuana, but you're a champion, he can't smoke the marijuana. Well, Scott, you want to smoke it? Great. Not in my car. Don't do it in my car. It's illegal in my car. If you want to smoke in your room privately, I don't give a shit. Don't do it in my car. Sometimes he's good, and when he got totally fucked up, he just did whatever he wants. And what scared me, I lucked out. For the 24 or so years I was with him, never got stopped by the police, especially after the fact, driving home. So after I drop him off either at the airport or at the hotel before he go home, I'm driving with the windows down, because the car, whether he smoked in the car or not, his body reeked of pot all the time. So it's like I'm driving with the windows down, and you're dead of fucking winter. I'm literally going the speed limit. I'm not speeding. I'm not driving crazy. I just want to stay the lane so I don't get pulled over by a cop. Sir, what is that smell in your car? I don't know. I'm not, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. It's not me. Your car smells like, well, sir, step out of the car. It's like, I scared the shit out of me. So like I had, always get, I had to take 3 days to air out the damn car. It's just bad. Yep.
He could have dropped a couple of marijuana buds. I hope you vacuumed that car after you dropped them off.
No. He never left anything in the car.
Oh, but, you sure?
It's just his body, whether he smoked in the car or not, his body reeked of the stuff. I mean, once you smoke, your body just reeks of that shit.
Well, Eric, it's legal now.
Sometimes when I was driving home after him, I had to pull into the rest stop because I was so drop dead tired. I had to take a little power nap in order for me to make it home. And I only live 40 miles from the airport, and I couldn't make it home because I was like on my last legs. I couldn't do it. I just went to a back end and just put the window down. Just took 20 minute power nap, so I was able to drive the extra 20 miles to get home, just to make it home at 3 o'clock in the morning, so it won't swerve all over the damn road.
Eric, Rick B says out there, the reason Sheiky got on Howard Stern was because of Dan Marotti's show. Is that accurate?
No, that's not accurate. We did the Pharrell show because we were promoting, we were in town promoting something. And at that time, he was doing the internet thing, with a fuck the ass, fuck Ryan Blair and that whole thing. So that's initially Dan's, he originally did it on Dan's platform, on the DVD or whatever, so which made the internet. So that initially got it to Pharrell's show, which is on Stern 101, which is the sports show, the night show on the Stern network, or one of the Stern networks. Sheik went in, did his whole... just everybody just went off on everybody, ripped everybody. They loved it so much that they got the tapes over to the Stern show, and then 3 weeks later the Stern show was calling me to, hey, we want the Sheik, and I just told Sheik, hey, you're coming to New York and we're doing the Stern show. It's the biggest thing in the world, and at least for me, because I'm a major Stern fan, and just another step up. To me, it's just a stepping stone. I mean, I was hoping to do Stern, for the publicity to move to the next level. And, right. Whatever that was, I didn't know at the time what it was. I was just hoping to get the exposure that we needed to move to whatever next level that it was.
All right. So we're going to play a classic video for everybody out there. And then we want to get you to weigh in on what went on and what was going through Eric Sims's mind.
Chris, come on. You're fucking here if you don't know. He's lawyer. What the fuck you doing, Jimmy? You want to do anything? You want to do anything about it?
Oh.
What the fuck you doing, Jimmy? You trying to steal my fucking gimmick? This man know where I come from. And I know he come from. What the fuck you bring me here?
No. Well, you need to get security.
Fuck you, fuck the security. I respect my country, sir, no? You're treating me like that? I know you're from Georgia, man.
Sorry.
That was his fucking fault. Don't fucking tell me I get started. You're a fucking asshole. You bring me here to treat me like that? That was your fucking fault. I respect you, man. I know you're from Georgia, but don't never, ever insult me again.
So I'm back from 2006. So that's about 17. That's about 17 years ago. So what you didn't see there was Bruno was with us also. San Martino, living legend. So I put I took Bruno over there because just shake hands, maybe good for a photo opportunity, because maybe you make a promo picture out of it. So Warrior was very nice and shook Bruno's hand, was very respectful. And I should preface this by saying, evidently there was some unwritten thing that said the Warrior didn't want to see anybody, be around anybody, didn't want to talk to anybody, but like I never got that message. So so everything went good with Bruno. So I said, let me bring Sheik over there. I got a picture with him and Hogan. I got a picture with him and The Rock. I got a picture with him and Austin. Let's do something with him and Warrior. That would make a good picture that we could sell at shows. So I was just hoping for a photo op, and I'm hoping Warrior would be cool and just take the picture. But evidently, I didn't know there was heat there. So what you saw ensue. Happened. Warrior refused to shake his hand, and Sheik didn't want to be embarrassed, and then he blew up at me for bringing him over there, and it just, and then what happened, what you saw happened, and then he got mad, he slapped me, and I wasn't quick enough to block it, and
so much for that Israeli jujitsu.
Well, it's just a basic. No, it's not jujitsu. It's just a simple block. But anyway, what do I do? He hits me. Do I turn around in public? And I already knew cameras were going because that was like right 2006, right at the start of the YouTube stuff and videotaping and this and that. And like, what do I do? I'm in a bad spot. How do I make this better? Do I strike the Sheik back and possibly beat him, possibly knock him out? I'm still an asshole. Do I try to tack him back?
They're delusional.
And then for some reason he kicks my ass, which he's supposed to do, because he's a celebrity, So I thought twice about that. And plus, it's on tape. I didn't want to do anything. So the third option is just walk away and regroup, and we'll just figure it out another day when cooler heads prevail.
Does he apologize for slapping you in public like that?
We spoke privately about it, and he did apologize. We talked about it at length, in the hotel room, and we just agreed to move on, work better. Cause I told him, don't hit me anymore. It's going to be done. We're done. I mean, I don't care. You yell, scream, do the gimmick. But, when it gets physical, no, that's where I draw the line. I can't.
Eric, I know it's business first.
But wait a second. But yeah. Now that the slap goes in, it's like, how do I make chicken salad out of chicken shit? So now I'm going to have to be slapped everywhere I fucking go because we already saw it. So like, I'm already in my mind thinking that that's what's going to happen. Well, that's a new part of the act.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were immediately processing the dollars and the cents, because I think you know me by now. If you slap me in the face, I don't care who you are, we're going to have an issue. So did you right away, like, you know, think dollars and cents?
No, right away I was pissed as shit.
I would figure.
As I was thinking about it, you know, as the days went on and, you know, months went on, it's like, you know, how do I make chicken salad out of chicken shit? So, you know, and how do I, you know, listen, that, along with other stuff, got us to Pharrell, got us to the Stern Show, got us, you know, all that stuff got us to where we, you know, get us to the next level.
So, do you look back on that slap with, like, pride after all these years? Because after all, it's a pretty memorable moment. It's what you're known for in a lot of ways.
You know, I have a hard time watching the videos of myself. It's part of my legacy, but I'm kind of embarrassed. You know, it's just like embarrassing to watch. It's like, for me, it's hard to watch that stuff because it's just, you know, I don't know. It's just, I'm real sensitive like that. I don't, like, you know, I guess that's what I'm remembered for, or, whatever. But, you know, I want to be remembered for other things as well. Just not like, you know, the public scoldings of, or the being humiliated by the Sheik all the time, even though that was kind of my role. But, you know, I want to be known for the guy who actually took care of Sheik in his downtime, helped reinvigorate him, reinvent him for the independent scene, you know, and just, you know, made him get him to the, you know, showed up to his appearances and just, you know, just help him make a living, you know, when, you know, WWE and, you know, WCW, everybody closed the door on him.
In the years after you guys broke off, after 24 years of business, did you talk to him much in the later years, Sheik?
I call him every week. I called him every week. I called Sheik. Hey, Kaz, how are you? You want to come out one more time? The fans want to see you. Let's do a tour. Eric, Bubba, I'd love to. Call me next week. And next week turned into the following. It turned into the following. It turned into the following. And it's like, I tried, but it's like, it wasn't happening. He didn't want to come out anymore. His knee, his ankle, you know, it was just getting bad. It was getting worse. And like, he was depressed. I thought he was feeling sorry for himself. He just didn't want to do it anymore. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, I kind of came to the realization that it was over. So, that, you know, I just kept in touch with him. I just, you know, hey, Kaz, how are you? How's the family? You know, just because, you know, for old time's sake, you know, but I kind of knew it wasn't going to happen. You know, it wasn't going anywhere anymore. So, you know, and in the end here, I kind of gave up on it. Like, I haven't talked to him in the last, I don't know, 9 months to a year. I just haven't. You know, I just kind of lost track with him. I mean, it just, you know, I just gave up on it.
Were you surprised at his death? I mean, there was really no news of, any illness or.
He was sick. Now, I mean, he was under the weather. He was feeling tired. He was, I could hear it in his voice when I spoke to him. It's like, some days good, some days bad, and it's just like, did I know he was going to die yesterday? No, but, you know, he's been in ill health for a long time. You know,
Eric, if you had one chance to say something to him now, knowing that, you know, knowing he's passed away now, is there anything you would have liked to have said to him?
I just tell him that I loved him, and I thank him for, like, all he did for me, because he did a lot for me. He put me on the map and just, you know, gave me a little credibility because, you know, hey, Eric Simpson's with the Iron Sheik. And, you know, if you look back at my legacy, if you go back to YouTube, you can see all our antics, good, bad, or indifferent. It's all on YouTube, you know, from the Feinstein shoots to the Kayfabe shoots to the Howard Stern stuff, to the K Killer's a comedy. Oh, and when we were talking about Stern Show, like I wanted to move to the next level. Well, from the Stern Show, we stepped up. We got Killer's a comedy, which is the touring comedy troupe. They put him. They gave him a little. You know, they gave him a payday to go on the road with them, and it was, you know, that was, you know, didn't last long, but you know, for a short time it did. That was good for him. I mean, he was happy going out, seeing the car. Being with the comics, being with Beetlejuice, getting drunk, doing his 5 minutes on stage with Bob Levy and Beetle, and you know, it was, you know, that made him happy. You know, he was good. You know, I mean, you know, so like that was good. And then but I kept wanting more because like I really wanted the reality show because I kind of figured that would be good. He's good material for, you know. For a reality show, and it just never materialized because it's just, you know, he cut it off, and I just wish he wouldn't have done that. But you know, it is what it was.
All right. Well, before we head out, tell us the best road story that the Sheik told you while you were working with him.
I got a couple road stories.
We only have time for one because the guest from our main show showed up early, and he's prepared, unlike someone. But anyway, go ahead.
It's really my relationship with my wife. I took my wife for my girlfriend at the time, not wife, to a convention in Long Island. We did a convention in Long Island, and then you know we're getting ready to leave. And then she thought, oh, I left my hat down. He couldn't find his hat. So I had to run back downstairs to where the convention was to get the hat. I told my girlfriend, don't let him out of your sight. Don't let him anywhere. We got to leave because I got to get to the wrestling show in New Jersey later on. So when I go down to look for the hat, which I couldn't find. I come back up and I see my girlfriend, wife now, yelling and screaming. And the Sheik, they're both screaming at each other. In the street because, you know, by the car, because she wouldn't let him get into the limo with the promoter of the convention to do the drugs and whatever. And then we get him back in the car, and they're yelling and screaming at each other in the car. How do I pick sides here? I mean, do I choose my, you know, do I go to my girlfriend's side, you know, because I gotta be with her, or do I take my client's side because I, you know, gotta do business in the future? So like I kind of got both of them to settle it down. They both had to apologize to each other, which I made them do, and like, you know, they're just mad as hell about that. But that's kind of how it worked. And I never took my wife on the road again, or girlfriend,
but,
or whatever.
But the real question: if they weren't able to work it out at that moment,
you're going with Sheik.
Who would you have chosen? Sheik.
The Sheik. He's going with Sheik. I knew it.
So in hindsight, Eric, if I ask you this question and you could turn back time, do you wish they didn't make up?
No. Because I want peace of mind. That's what I want. It's all about, you know, I want a peaceful, quiet ride. I want to get the business done. The most important thing is getting the business done. You know, I got to show up to each appearance because each of the sponsors, you know, paid money, advertised, and it's important that they show up so that we can honor our commitments, whatever it was to whoever, you know, whoever the sponsors are. So that's what I did. I had to make the peace, make it right, get to our show, do it. And once the weekend was done, they don't got to see each other anymore. Mm-hmm. I could see my girlfriend when I want to. I see the Sheik when I got business for him. And, that's it.
I could see you going, turning to you after you pick the Sheik and going, you want the baby? You want the wife? Bah, poor.
Because he's Iranian and, you know, they, you know, he's very strong, dominant. You don't let women talk to me like that and this and that. And women should know her place. And like my wife is a girlfriend. You know, she's no filter, you know, Irish woman. And, you know, you piss her off, she'll put you in your place and put anybody in her place. I mean, and she don't care. She don't give a shit. So it's like I was cringing because it was like, you know, the potential of getting ugly. And I didn't want to, you know, again, I got to keep the peace with everybody. So you know, that's what I did.
And just think about it. You didn't get Bell's palsy out of it either. So in the end, it all works
out. Listen, that wasn't until after I left, until I was done with the Iron Sheik and, had to move on to somebody else.
Yeah, there you go.
That is really jiu-jitsu.
I didn't get stressed out. Sheik stressed me out, but not as bad as as after I left him, I got stressed.
Well, listen, if you don't let me end this show, I'm going to get Bell's palsy
and stressed out.
I want to thank you.
Yeah,
seriously, Eric, thank you for sharing your moments about the icon Iron Sheik, and again, thank you being part of the Monty and the Pharaoh family.
Awesome. I am always happy to be part of the Monty and the Pharaoh family. And I'm always happy to come on and get interviewed and bring my talents in there. And it's we got a great relationship. We have a little hiccups here or there, but you know, we're big enough, we can work through them, and we're good.
All right, guys. Thank you, Eric. And thank you everybody for joining us. We'll see you in literally 6 minutes, where we've got former WWE photographer, the great Johnny Photo, making his second appearance on Long Island's number one pro wrestling broadcast. So everybody's joined us at 9 o'clock. We'll see you shortly.
You've been watching This Week in Wrestling, and until next week in wrestling, later.